Hello, friends. I am so excited to introduce you to Maddie Scannapico, who is a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner specializing in women's gut and hormone health. She helps women get to the root cause of healing frustrating symptoms like acne, PMS, IBS, thyroid conditions, infertility struggles, and more by understanding the why and restoring function in the body back to optimal health. She uses functional testing in her practice like GI MAP, Dutch, and HTMA testing, and follows a test versus guest methodology to get life-changing results based on individual data. I am so excited today. This is some of the takeaways that you're going to get from this episode, which is, what is birth control? What is it prescribed for, and does it actually fix those problems? What are some misconceptions or things that are not normally told to us about birth control? How can we transition off safely if that is something that you want to do? Also, we are going to talk about cycling education, so learning more about your cycles so you can feel confident not needing birth control. We're going to talk about natural methods available and so much more, you guys. Get ready for this. Here we go. Welcome to the Health Uncovered podcast, your go-to podcast for all things health, healing, and what to do next on your health journey. I'm your host, Mercedes Cook, a doctor of chiropractic and a diplomate in chiropractic cranial cervical junction procedures. Each week, my guest and I will be uncovering treatment options and health tips to help you get to the root cause of your health issues. If you're tired of seeing doctor after doctor with no answers, then the show is for you. You'll learn all kinds of healthcare options that you may have not known existed that will help you move forward on your healing journey more confident than ever. I invite you to stay open and curious. All right, let's get into today's episode. Hi, Maddie. Welcome to the Health Uncovered podcast. I'm so excited to have you here with us today and talk all things birth control and our cycles. So without further ado, please start educating us a little bit about what exactly birth control is and what it is prescribed for.
Hi, Mercedes. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be on here today, and I'm excited to talk about all things hormones, birth control, and what we can do to optimize our hormones moving forward to feel our best. So your first question being around what is birth control, I think most people know birth control as the development of a most often a pill or an IUD to prevent pregnancy. And it started for that reason, to prevent pregnancy. But now the pill, at least, is most commonly prescribed for other ailments associated with hormonal symptoms that don't often even have to do with preventing pregnancy. A lot of the times, the use of the pill is for like PMS, acne, heavy bleeding, things like PCOS or endometriosis. So we have a lot of like off-label prescriptions of the pill. But of course, a lot of women are still using the pill to prevent pregnancy. The two most common types that most women listening to and that you and I have probably tried are the birth control pill, which could be both estrogen and progestin-based combination pill, or a progestin-only pill, and then the IUD, which there can be the hormonal IUD or the non-hormonal copper IUD. Those are the most common forms of hormonal or non-hormonal birth controls.
Yeah. Is it true that, and I'm sure obviously there's different variations, so you can educate us on this, but are the hormones that we're getting like through the birth control pill, are they like bioidentical hormones that our body makes, or are they synthetic hormones?
No, this is a really good question. So I think a lot of women now with more education around hormones in general are like, progesterone is good. Progesterone is good. Oh, the combination pill has some progesterone in it and the IUD has some progesterone in it. That must be something that could potentially help me or help, quote unquote, balance my hormones. And progestin is a synthetic progesterone, and it is not the same as the progesterone that we produce in our body. And there are a lot of different side effects. Progestin, the synthetic version, being in the combination, the progestin-only pill or the all of the hormonal IUDs. can actually make us feel really crappy, where the progesterone in our body most oftentimes makes us feel really good, like helps support our mood, makes us feel balanced, helps us sleep. And so that is a common misconception, that it is bioidentical progesterone in birth control pills and IUDs. And so it's different than a bioidentical progesterone cream, for example, or bioidentical progesterone pill, for example.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted you to touch on that because I feel like nobody really talks about the synthetic version. I feel like we hear about bioidentical hormones a lot for like menopausal women and, you know, different things. And I think it's interesting that like women of childbearing years are more commonly given synthetic hormones, which literally makes no sense. But anyways, yes. Now, okay, you mentioned a couple things that it's prescribed for. Like I remember as a high schooler, I went to the OBGYN for the first time and I was having really bad cramps and they were like, great, we should put you on the pill. And probably like most people, they tried several different things because it either wasn't working or it made it worse. And so that kind of brings me back to, it took me like several years to kind of connect like, okay, why did I go on this in the first place? And did it actually help me fix the problem? And for me personally, the answer was no, it did not make my cramps better or my PMS better. It actually, they put me on one, I don't even know if they still use this anymore, but they put me on one where you only have a period every 3 months. So you basically just like delay and then you have a terrible period, but then you don't have to have it again for 3 months, which back then when I knew nothing about my cycle or my body really, I thought that that was a great option because I was like, well, I can just have one, you know, bad period instead of every single month. And so, but looking back, it was like very interesting. Okay, that did not help fix the problem at all or help balance my hormones like they said that it was going to. And so have you had a similar experience like that? Or do you feel like birth control is actually an answer for some of these problems? Like, does it actually fix things that I'm not aware of?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question and a really good point that you make, because the same thing happened to me where it was prescribed for me to suppress certain symptoms. And for myself and a lot of my clients, it can suppress symptoms temporarily. So it works as like a band-aid approach, and it can work to stop cramps, to stop heavy bleeding, to reduce acne temporarily, but it doesn't fix the underlying problem. So I think that's where the big issue is like, first of all, a lot of women are handed the pill like candy when they're a, you know, 15-year-old, maybe even younger, even if they don't have issues that need to be resolved or suppressed at the time, which is crazy because why fix what's not broken? And then there's all of these other issues that occur later in life when they get off the pill because their cycle never matured. Something that Dr. Laura Bryden introduced to me, I had never heard of this or I'd never read about it, is that it takes about on average 12 years for a cycle to mature. So if you think about getting your cycle at like age 12, if you start the pill at age 14 or 15, your cycle never matured. So when you get off, when you're 27, your body really has no idea what to do because you never had that window of time for your cycle to regulate and for you to really understand like what is your normal cycle, for example. So back to your question, no, the pill doesn't fix the underlying issue, but it can be a good temporary support for people that are in debilitating pain or have debilitating symptoms like associated with endometriosis, for example. But the problem is when you stop taking the pill, all of those symptoms come back and they are often worse because the pill also contributes to nutrient deficiencies and can disrupt the gut flora and can increase inflammation and poses a lot of other health risks downstream. So sometimes people do it, they're like, okay, I feel better, but unless you're going to take it for the rest of your life, which I don't recommend, those symptoms are going to come back unless you do address the root cause.
Yeah. And just because you're the perfect person to ask for this, but let's say our listeners are listening and they're like, okay, great, I'm taking birth control. They're covering up these symptoms. I really don't want to do that. What do you recommend people do to get to the root cause? Like, how do people figure out where their cramps are coming from or how to solve some of these issues? Because I know this is what you work on with your clients. So what do you typically recommend, like the direction that people go once they get off birth control?
Yeah. So this is going to overlap with the same advice I have for how to transition off the pill smoothly it would be the same approach to how to address the root cause of your hormone symptoms, because it's a lot of like focusing on the same systems in the body. So my number one recommendation, regardless if you're on the pill, you're trying to reduce, you're actually trying to get to the root cause of symptoms, or if you're trying to transition off the pill smoothly, I recommend prepping your body for at least 3 months. So before we started this episode, you told me that you had stopped the pill cold turkey, and I did that too. So I'll just give like a tiny bit of a background on my experience with hormonal birth control, because it's all part of like how I learned this the hard way. But I went on the pill for acne and to prevent pregnancy when I was like 15. And I was on the pill for basically 10, 11 years. For like a small period of time, I took the non-hormonal copper IUD, which didn't end up working out in my favor either, which we can talk about later. But when I was 26 years old and I had been on the pill for basically 11 years at that point, I had a scary health episode of a brain abscess, and I was in the hospital about to have brain surgery. And they were like, you need to stop everything that you're taking right now. And just to preface this, the birth control wasn't directly linked to my brain abscess or anything, but it was just like, okay, whatever medication you're on right now, you need to stop. So at that time, I stopped the birth control pill and I never went back on it, but I didn't realize what the cold turkey stopping of the pill would do to my body, because there were all of these underlying issues that I hadn't addressed. So for me, 3 to 9 months post-pill, I was dealing with a bunch of health issues. Aside from that, anyways, all of my hormonal issues came back with a vengeance, like horrible cystic acne, really like heavy periods and bad cramps and night sweats. I was basically going through like menopausal symptoms in addition to being like a teenager again in terms of the symptoms I was experiencing related to acne. Then I was diagnosed with PCOS and everything else. So I can get into my story a little bit later, and I know you might share part of yours too, but it's really important not to stop cold turkey, because there are a lot of foundational things that need to happen first, because the pill can deplete certain nutrients, the pill can disrupt our gut balance and increase inflammation. And so I recommend taking a few months to fill those gaps, support the gut, support the liver, balance blood sugar, get your body in a good, strong place to be more resilient to whatever changes come in the months that you do get off the pill, because there's something called post-birth control syndrome that can develop within like a few months to a year after getting off the pill. And that those are a lot of the symptoms that we want to avoid happening. And so I recommend using like the pillars that I use in my practice is the acronym DRESS. So that's diet, rest, exercise, stress, and then supplements are the cherry on top. So going through each of those pillars to make sure that we're optimizing all of those areas and filling the gaps first so that the transition is a lot smoother.
Yeah, DRESS. I love that. Well, I kind of similar to you, like I quit cold turkey because I don't know what, I was in chiropractic school and I remember one of our professors brought up birth control and the fact that it is synthetic hormones and that it's kind of covering up. And I'm like, you know, it's really interesting because I have honestly been feeling kind of, and to be fair, obviously under the most stress of my life, taking more tests and like all the classes I was in. So very high stress, but I was just not feeling like myself at all. And I was like, oh, wow, I didn't know any of this information about birth control. I would really, you know, I'm like in a committed relationship with someone who I'm about to marry. So I feel like I would love to just, I definitely did not want to have kids at that point, but I was like, I'm going to do my due diligence. Like I was already pretty educated about my cycle, but I just thought, okay, great. I'm just going to have my next period and then never go back on birth control. And like you said, it was a wild ride because all of the hormonal imbalances, all the like cramps, thankfully my cycle was like very regular, which was great. But as far as like the symptoms and the PMS, it was horrible. So that's when I had to start seeking out, like you said, a lot of like diet and lifestyle things. I don't know if you've read the book Beyond the Pill by Dr. Jolene Brighton. I wish I would have read it before I did this. I read it like several months after and I was like, oh, it makes sense why my body is so depleted and all these, like I like how she talks, it like goes through the certain minerals that can be depleted from birth control. So once I started like supplementing and getting my diet in order, I started to feel so much better. But it was a like a rough, you know, 6 months for me and my husband, just like trying to navigate like all the crazy changes. I'm so glad. I mean, I would do it all over again,
preferably educating myself like before. But again, as far as getting off, I definitely would. But I would love if you could tell us, we already kind of talked a little bit, maybe there's more, I don't know. But are there some misconceptions about birth control that you think a lot of us don't really know?
Yeah, I think so. One of the first ones is the progestin, progesterone conversation. I think some other misconceptions that I see circulating around all the time, and luckily I feel like the narrative on this is changing, but one of those major misconceptions is that our OBGYNs often share with us or kind of allude to is that hormonal birth control balances our hormones. And it does not balance our hormones, it suppresses them. So it basically shuts off that communication from our brain to our ovaries, and it puts us in a temporary chemical menopause. So that's not balancing our hormones, because our hormones, which we'll talk about later, go through these four phases throughout the month, and they should be going up and down and all around. But when we're on birth control, they're just flatlined. So we don't make the estrogen, we don't make the progesterone. There are certain cases with progestin-only IUDs where women do still ovulate and cycle, which is kind of rare, but it works out in their favor a lot of the time. And that's like a different case. But with the birth control pill, it suppresses our hormones. And that's the reason why we don't feel those hormonal symptoms anymore. But once we stop, then our brain is like, wait, this communication has been shut off for so long. What do we do now? It can take a really long time to regain the cycle after getting off the pill. Say you've been on it for 10 years. Which is something that I see in my practice a lot, like 10 to 15 years. And then women are like at the 3-month mark and they don't have a cycle and they're freaking out. And I try to explain to them and give them a little bit of hope that it's like, if this communication has been turned off for 10 years, give your body some time to regain this process again. So that's one of the biggest misconceptions. It suppresses them. It doesn't balance them. It covers many symptoms like a Band-Aid. And so those symptoms can come back. I think sometimes people are like, oh, well, it fixed my acne. It didn't fix the acne, because when you stop the birth control pill, the acne will likely come back, but it may even come back worse, which is super frustrating. So that whole like Band-Aid rebound revenge effect is rough. It lowers libido. So this is something that's really frustrating, because it's like, a lot of women go on the hormonal birth control pill to have sex freely, to not get pregnant. But then they don't realize that they have zero libido while they're on the pill, which is such an oxymoron, because it's like, who wants to have sex when you're dry and you have no libido? So that's another misconception, because I think people might be going on it for the wrong reasons in that case. It can cause migraines, depression, and anxiety. A lot of the time people are persuaded to go on it so that their moods are more stable, but then it is proven to cause other mood conditions, which is pretty scary. And it can increase the rate of suicide, like a lot of scary stuff that we're not told in the OBGYN office a lot of the time. It can contribute to nutrient and mineral deficiencies, especially like magnesium, B vitamins, vitamin C, and a lot of our trace minerals as well. And then it can increase certain cancers, where a lot of the time in the OBGYN office, we're told to go on it to prevent certain cancers, but we're not told that it can increase the risk of other cancers. So these are just some of the common misconceptions that I share with my clients, because I'm not anti-birth control, but I am anti being put on birth control without knowing the short and long-term risks associated.
Totally. That's so helpful. Like, I just learned something, and I'm sure everyone else listening didn't know all of those things. I feel like, unfortunately, in Western medicine, again, not against, like, there's always a time and place for everything, but are we actually given the proper rundown or information or informed consent about what we're about to take? No. I've never heard anybody even talk about like any nutrient deficiencies, or like, hey, we're going to put you on this. It's going to cause this. So to counterbalance, like, let's work on your diet. Let's work on this. And it's so unfortunate, because the amount of women that are on birth control, especially like young women, this has become such like a standard thing. It makes me so sad how like we see it now, like all of us in our 30s, 40s, we're like sort of opening our eyes to, okay, let's like get all this crap out of our bodies. And now we have to figure out how to heal our bodies ourselves, because not necessarily ourselves, but like look outside of Western medicine, because they're not trained in that. And that's just not what they're taught. And so now we have to kind of go and advocate for ourselves and find practitioners like you who are actually going to look at the gut, look at different things to figure out, okay, how can we heal from this and like get our bodies back on track? So just so interesting how things work.
Yeah. And one thing that's always confuses me when I start to think about like what the true answer is, because at 15, we're not mature enough to necessarily be like, okay, well, I don't want to take this pill because I don't want to deal with the risks associated that will maybe show up in 10 or 15 years. But at the same time, it's so unfair and wrong that we're handing these pills out like candy, not sharing those risks and side effects. And then women getting in these positions in their late 20s or early 30s where they're like, well, I wish I didn't do that because I didn't know what I was getting into at the time. So it's like, I don't even know what the true answer is, because some of the time it's like, we're probably not mature enough to even accept something with such intense risks for the short and the long term. But at the same time, we need to know.
Yeah. Well, my hope is that having this conversation, and even I know you are a new mom of a beautiful baby girl, and like, I love that you have this knowledge and you will share this with your daughter, obviously, as she gets to that point. And same thing, like, I just hope that people our age who are going to raise kids, because it's not your 15-year-old's job to synthesize all of this and like make the right decision, but it is our job as parents to be informed and know what we're getting our kid into, because like, they don't know. They can't make these decisions yet. And so anyways, I just hope that people who are parents can at least like take this in and be like, okay, great, I want to teach my kid, what are the pros? What are the cons? And like, pick what's best for us type of thing.
That's such a good point. My mom was very, very anti-birth control, but I always thought it was for like religious reasons. And I always thought, you know, when you're a teenager, you'd never think your parents are right. So I was so annoyed at her at the time. And now, just a few years ago, I told her, I should have listened to you. You always know better. And she's like, I told you there's something crazy about putting synthetic hormones in your body every single day, suppressing your natural cycle, turning off that normal, healthy fluctuation of hormones throughout the month. And I just, yeah, there's a part of me that wishes I would have listened to her, but you're right. It is not the 15-year-old's role to take that on themselves. But if we can educate ourselves, and I think the school education and all of that should also hopefully get better over time.
Yeah, let's hope so. Now, I know you started diving into it a little bit, but I'm curious. I would love to kind of have you walk us through. Will you have your five pillars, like the dress for when people get off birth control? For anybody listening right now, is there things, if they're thinking about getting off, could you just tell us, okay, what are the first things that we can kind of do on our own lifestyle-wise to like help prep our body? And then also talk to us a little bit about the benefits of working with a functional health coach like yourself, and like the protocols and things and just tests that you do. So we kind of can give people confidence and like, okay, this is what I need to do to get off of this and get on track.
Yeah, perfect. So first, and I'm going to repeat myself here, don't stop cold turkey. So give yourself at least 3 months to prep if you can. Of course, some people that are listening are like, oh my gosh, I already stopped cold turkey. Did I totally screw myself over? No, you did not. There are things that you can go back and do now. So we'll get into that. The next thing is talk to your doctor and make sure that it's a good choice for you at this time. So I think, as much as I share about like the pill isn't great for you, I don't recommend the pill for most people. If you're not in a place where you can get pregnant, or if it would be really scary for you, like, make sure that you have that conversation with your healthcare practitioner to make sure that getting off the pill is right for you and you have like your timeline kind of laid out for yourself. So the next thing after you finally make that decision that I do recommend is start filling nutrient gaps. So the ones that I mentioned earlier are depleted B vitamins, magnesium. Basically, everybody should be taking magnesium. People always ask this question, so I'll just share it right now because they're probably going to ask anyways. But the best types of magnesium to take kind of depends on the symptoms you're going for. But in general, magnesium glycinate is one of the most bioavailable forms, and it's really safe for basically everybody to take, and it doesn't cause gastrointestinal distress or anything like that. So if you're like, I don't know what magnesium to start with, magnesium glycinate, magnesium citrate, and magnesium L-threonate are kind of those best, most bioavailable forms that a lot of people can take and even mix and match. I kind of mix and match those. And then vitamin D, optimal sunlight is the best way to make enough vitamin D. But if you live somewhere like I used to live in Seattle, do what you need to do by potentially taking like a vitamin D3 K2 blend, getting your labs retested and just monitoring those. And then whole food vitamin C is my favorite way to increase vitamin C in the body in another bioavailable form rather than the synthetic vitamins that most people are taking. I really like the Paleo Valley whole food vitamin C, or there's another, I'm forgetting the name of the other whole food vitamin C powder that I like. I'll think about it and you can always put it in the show notes. But yeah, so vitamin C. And then the next thing I would do is support your liver. And this is going to look different for a lot of people, but it could be something as easy and as simple as taking like a liver support tea. One of my friends on Instagram, her handle is Wellness with Lynns, and she owns a hormone focused organic, really like well done tea company. And it's called Symbi, S-Y-M-B-I. And they have like hormonal liver supporting teas, things like that. Of course, you can get like the traditional medicinals brand organic liver support tea as well. But I like other things to support lymphatic drainage and liver detoxification in the body, like dry brushing or rebounding on a little trampoline. So little things like that, making sure that you're going to the bathroom every day, having a daily bowel movement, which gets into the supporting the gut aspect of prepping your body before getting off. And I don't want to overwhelm people. There are just little tiny, like tangible things you can do in here. Like so far you could be like, okay, maybe I'll just start with magnesium and maybe I will dry brush before I get in the shower, for example. So supporting the gut, we can talk about the option of functional testing, which I do in my practice, which I think is a huge missing piece for a lot of people. But the simple, easy stuff is like eating a healthy whole foods diet, making sure that you're not drinking a bunch of alcohol, taking a bunch of things like Advil, and that you're maybe taking a high quality probiotic. That's like a simple approach to making sure that the gut is at least being supported before you get off the pill. There are definitely more in-depth things we can do to support and heal the gut, which we can talk about in terms of like what answers functional testing gives us. Another area is blood sugar balance. This is huge. So a lot of the time, when we are suppressing our hormones, when we're on hormonal birth control, we're not experiencing a lot of those like mood swings and shifts that we might when we get off. When we do get off, it's really important that we're balancing our blood sugar through a whole foods, healthy, protein forward, nutrient dense diet. Something that happens to a lot of women when they get off hormonal birth control is this androgen swing. And androgens are the male hormones that us women have. We just don't have as many as men do. And around 3 to 6 months post getting off birth control, we can have this androgen rebound or revenge effect because our androgens have been suppressed for so long, which is the reason why some people's acne gets better while they're on hormonal birth control, but it can swing in the other direction. And one reason why we really want to balance blood sugar to transition off the pill smoothly is because when we have these big spikes in blood sugar and insulin, that can tell our ovaries to make more testosterone, which will then increase acne production. So it's kind of just like calming down that whole inflammatory response and calming down all of these systems in the body that could be going up and down and all around and stressing out the body internally. So balancing blood sugar is another area. I have a few books that I know you already mentioned, the Beyond the Pill. Woman Code by Dr. Viva Ram is something that is also going to be really helpful. And I recommend reading before getting off the pill. And the Period Repair Manual by Dr. Laura Bryden is another good one. So I know that was kind of a lot of random tips, and I don't want people to feel like they have to do all of those. But those are just some of the things that I would check off the list if you are thinking about those five pillars. So diet, maybe that's like blood sugar balance. Rest, I would go to sleep before 10:30 p.m. to optimize your circadian rhythm and balance your hormones in that way. Exercise, I would move enough, but not too much. So I would maybe do like slow strength training and daily walks, but I wouldn't do HIIT workouts every single day, for example. Stress, I would maybe implement like a tiny breath work or a meditation practice just to make sure that your body feels safe and is in a good place to prioritize hormone production. And then the supplements are like maybe just start with magnesium in that case to kind of summarize those five pillars.
Yeah, I love that. So let's say you start implementing some of these things, but you notice like after a couple months, like you're having a lot of symptoms, and maybe that's like low libido, brain fog, mood swings, just like, or PMS, and you kind of are, you know, like, okay, I should really work with someone or do some labs, do some testing. Like, what do you recommend people search out? Like, who can they work with? And what typically, like, walk us through what your protocol looks like if someone comes to you for those issues specifically.
Yeah. So I think there's so many reasons why we can start experiencing all of this like hormonal chaos or chaos within the body after the pill. And so testing, not guessing, is something that I feel passionate about. So you could either go to like a naturopathic doctor that focuses on functional testing, a functional medicine doctor, or somebody like myself, a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner who specializes in gut and hormone functional testing. You could also, some NTPs, nutritional therapy practitioners, also focus on functional testing, and some chiropractic doctors do. So it just kind of depends. But I would definitely go to somebody that specializes in gut and hormone health, focusing on women in their reproductive years, kind of understanding this common theme of postbirth control syndrome and how to address it. So say you start getting all of these symptoms a few months after you have gotten off the pill and you haven't done functional testing yet, even though it seems like you should test your hormones, I actually always recommend testing the gut first, because gut health is foundational to hormone health. Hormones heal last. So if your gut is all messed up, if you are completely stressed out, running around like a chicken with your head cut off, your hormones are not going to be the first thing to resolve. And so one of the first tests I typically recommend is GI MAP stool testing to look at what's going on with the good and the bad bacteria. Do you have any pathogens? Are you dealing with something like H. pylori, which can cause hormonal symptoms? Do you have high levels of inflammation in your gut? Is your immune system and the lining of your gut really weak or overactive? Is that contributing to inflammation? Are you reacting to something like gluten, where you're having this constant daily immune response attacking the gluten, which can throw off your hormones and deprioritize your body focusing on the hormonal regulation over time? So you basically want to eliminate those internal stressors first by looking at the gut. So GI MAP stool testing is my number one test to start with. Another one that you could do in the beginning, or when you start thinking like, okay, I probably need to figure out what's going on, is HTMA, hair tissue mineral analysis testing. And that can be really helpful because the pill can deplete a lot of minerals. And so this can help you understand what's going on with your mineral status and how you can replenish and fill those gaps and kind of like fill in your foundation with the gut stuff, the mineral stuff moving forward. Later on, after you've worked on your gut, you've worked on optimizing liver function, opening up your detox and drainage pathways, make sure that you're going to the bathroom every day, like all of that kind of foundational stuff, then you can actually look at what's going on with your hormones. And I do love the Dutch test. That's dried, that stands for dried urine testing for comprehensive hormones. And it's tricky because some women, they regain their cycle pretty quickly after getting off the pill. So after you've had three full cycles post-pill, it's a great time to do a Dutch test. But a lot of the time, people don't get their cycle back. So they're like, I need to have three cycles to Dutch test, but I don't have a cycle. So what do I do? At that point, you can do a Dutch test even sooner than 3 months post-pill. It really depends on the situation. And this is what I work like individually with people on in my practice about, like, what is the best schedule for you? How can we get the most bang for your buck in terms of testing? Like, I would actually look at everything they've already done, any tests that they've already tried, the protocols that they've already been working on, the foundations, and then decide if it's a good time to do a Dutch test. But that's my favorite order, like GI MAP, HTMA, potentially Dutch testing. And then there are other blood tests that people can request from their OBGYNs and get covered by insurance in the meantime to like look at thyroid function. That could really affect getting the cycle back or having a regular, irregular cycle. Looking at B vitamins through the blood, looking at like an iron panel and other things that could be contributing to dysfunction with gut and hormone health. But those are my top three favorite functional tests and where I would go to get them. And if anybody's listening and they're not sure where to go, they can always, we'll talk about this at the end, but reach out to me and I can help either work with people directly or tell them where to go to.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. Nothing, I'm sure you hear this a lot too, but nothing drives me more insane when people tell me they need to go get their hormones tested because they have all this stuff going on. I'm like, okay, well, your hormone test is going to tell you what you're already suspecting. Your hormones are out of whack. So why don't you do some testing that's worthwhile to actually figure out why is this happening? Like, what is actually causing the hormones to be imbalanced? So I'm so happy that you touched on that because, again, with our Western medicine protocol, it's just sort of like, okay, we'll test, do the basic blood work, do the basic hormones. Okay, yes, it's out of whack here. Take this hormone to try to balance this. And again, that's just sort of a Band-Aid approach. But when you do things like the GI map or like mineral analysis, you're actually figuring out why your hormones aren't balanced in the first place. And so anyways, thank you for touching on that. That was a great, like, I think people probably have a great idea now of like what birth control actually is and kind of what their options. And I'm sure a lot of people are listening to this. I know like how I was, you know, 10 years ago, starting to think about this kind of stuff and being like, wow, like I don't really want this for myself. So what do I do now? So I would love to have us kind of transition into, let's actually talk about our cycle, because I don't think we're always really educated super well on the female body. What are cycles like? When are we ovulating? When can we get pregnant? How many days of the month can we get pregnant? Because if you're like me, where, you know, all through my, I did not want to have kids until I was in my 30s. And I wanted to have my career. I wanted to be established. And I totally get that. So I did not want to have kids in my 20s, but I also didn't want to stay on birth control. So maybe we can kind of get into how we manage that, how we learn more about like how we can prevent pregnancy, or even if we want to get pregnant right now, like how can we do this naturally so we don't have to utilize birth control as a part of our routine?
Yeah, it's crazy because I think I was 26 when I learned that there is more than just your period having to do with your cycle. Like, you know, I had no idea that there were four phases of your cycle, that your hormones fluctuated the way that they did throughout the month, that you couldn't get pregnant on any given day. You can only get pregnant about like 5 to 6 days max during your ovulatory window. There's so many things that I'm like, how? Like, I literally just thought it was like bleeding your period, nothing, back to bleeding your period, nothing again. I just had no idea. And so it was pretty mind-blowing, but also sad that I was like a full-blown adult before I realized this. So one of my favorite ways to teach people the four phases of the cycle are associating or connecting them with the different seasons throughout the year. So I always start with the menstrual phase being winter. So you think about like turning in, having less energy, you're bleeding, you're hungrier, just thinking about like cozy times in the winter. So menstrual phase, when you're bleeding, think winter. And then you enter the follicular phase, think spring, when you're kind of like re-emerging, you're no longer bleeding, you're gaining your energy back, you're feeling pretty good. That's the phase before ovulation. So there are times for people that like towards the end of your follicular phase. So it's like you go from your menstrual phase when you're bleeding into your follicular phase. The end of your follicular phase is when you could potentially be entering that window of being able to get pregnant when you're getting closer to the ovulatory phase. The ovulatory phase is in the middle of your cycle, and everybody, like a lot of the apps say like day 14 is when you ovulate. No, not everybody ovulates on day 14. You could ovulate on day 10. You could ovulate on day 25. It really depends on you and your cycle. In the world of hormonal health, especially like on Instagram and on the internet, I think it's kind of become an obsession to be like, your period, your cycle should be 28 days and your ovulation should happen on day 14. And it's very black and white and like cookie cutter. No, everybody has different like numbers or average days per phase, but generally it's like days, you know, 1 through 4, the menstrual phase when you're bleeding, days like 5 through 10-ish are the follicular phase when you're preparing for ovulation, day 10 through like 15, roughly around like 5 to 6 days max is when you're ovulating, the only time of the month that you can actually get pregnant. And then post-ovulation, like around 2 weeks is our luteal phase. So think about ovulation as like summer. You have a lot more energy. You feel good. You feel sexy. You have higher libido. And then you enter the luteal phase, which is fall. Things are kind of like slowing down, getting darker. You may feel really good in the beginning of the fall or the luteal phase, but then towards the end, you start to lose energy and you get towards that, like what we all know is like the PMS phase where your energy's low, you're pretty hungry, you may have cravings, you don't necessarily feel as good. So those would be the four phases: menstrual, follicular, ovulatory, and luteal. And yeah, I just thought that it used to be like period and nothing else.
I literally thought the same thing. So
yeah. And I didn't answer your other question yet about like how to actually either prevent pregnancy or start educating yourself on all of that. But knowing that there's only like 5 to 6 days max that you can get pregnant out of the month, it's really important to start to understand what your cycle looks like. And because that looks different for everybody, an app is not going to know your exact cycle, especially if you just like start using one this month. So my recommendations for like learning how to understand your individual cycle in your body is the calendar method. So starting with tracking your cycle, and that's tracking symptoms, tracking everything from like when you notice signs of ovulation, which could be higher libido, cervical mucus that looks like stretchy egg white material, which is like just before you ovulate, higher energy. And then you're tracking like when you start bleeding, when you stop bleeding, for example. So just understanding the actual calendar timeline of what your symptoms look like within those four different phases. The first app that I ever used after I read the book Woman Code by Aviva Ram is the Flow Living app, MyFlow, and it helps you cycle sync and also notice a lot of the symptoms that come within each of those phases. So choose an app with a lot of good reviews and is high quality, but understand if it tells you you're ovulating on day 14 when you first start using the app, it's just guessing. It's just an algorithm. It doesn't actually know. So then after you're using the calendar method, you would want to track for cervical mucus to understand those cues from your body when you're about to ovulate. And then another thing that you can do, and this is all kind of part of the fertility awareness method or FAM. You can look up fertility awareness method and there's a lot of different articles and directions online, but it's basically like using the calendar method, tracking for cervical mucus, taking your basal body temperature. So you can take that with a manual basal body temperature thermometer. They're like $9 on Amazon. Or you could use something like you and I have, the Oura Ring, which takes your basal body temperature for you and can actually track in an app like Natural Cycles. So this is a little bit more expensive, but my favorite way to prevent pregnancy or try to conceive now is using the Oura Ring integrated with Natural Cycles, which helps you connect the different phases of your cycle, helps you understand when you're about to ovulate, when you are in a good window, or when you're in a bad window. So if you're trying not to get pregnant, it's going to say red, don't have sex during these days. If you were trying to get pregnant, it's going to say green, try to have sex during these days because you have a higher likelihood. So that's kind of like the most natural way using the fertility awareness method, although there's a lot of room for user error there. And so if you're not doing it perfectly, I don't recommend just like using what I say on this episode and like go trying it out. I recommend actually like using something like Natural Cycles app or Daisy is another good option. But then if you are also trying to have an additional level of support, I always recommend condoms on top of that and anything outside, like anything around your ovulation window. And I like the organic Sustain brand condoms because we don't want to be putting any toxins up there, as you and I would probably both agree. So those are kind of like the things to start with. One other thing that you could do is LH strip testing, and that's testing for luteinizing hormone. So if you use LH strips throughout the month, you also test basal body temperature, cervical mucus, and then your calendar tracking. That's a really thorough way to understand either how to prevent pregnancy or how to conceive.
Such great tips. And if you are able to, like you said, having the Oura Ring for me, I personally did not want to like take my temperature every morning. And I didn't do it. So I was not very like strict before I had the Oura Ring, but with the Oura Ring and like pairing it, it just seriously is so easy. So if you can do that, highly recommend. And like you said, when you're first like learning, you know, give yourself a couple months, like take precautions, you know, do what you got to do, because it takes a couple months, especially if you're coming off birth control, like your cycle is not going to be normal or necessarily regulated yet. So you have to kind of give your body time and give the app and the Oura Ring time to like learn your body, learn your rhythm, all of that. So I love that. Okay, Maddie. So for everybody listening, if they are kind of on this journey right now where they are either contemplating birth control or wanting to get off, need to work with someone, where can they find you? In what capacity can my listeners work with you?
Yeah. So the best way to find me is Instagram. So that's at mad.healthy, M-A-D-D.healthy. And then you can also go to my website, which is madhealthy.com, 2 D's, M-A-D-D. I am just transitioning out of maternity leave. So I'm not in like the most clear, I don't have the most clear plan in terms of like my next group is on X date and I'm taking X amount of one-on-one clients. I luckily filled up in a good way, but also bad because I have a wait list now. When I came back from maternity leave, I filled up really quickly with one-on-one clients. So I'm back to a wait list, but I am about to open spots again soon. So if you DM me on Instagram or if you go to the link in my Instagram bio, you can get on my wait list, which gives you first dibs to when I open up one-on-one coaching slots again. And with one-on-one coaching, we can do everything. It is all customized to you. We can decide if you need to do a GI map stool test now, and then you'll transition off the pill in a few months. And then 6 or 7 months from now, you may want to do a Dutch test. Like we would come up with a very customized, individualized plan for you based on whatever you are looking for support in. If you are interested in group coaching, which I'm going to run another group later this year, you can also get on my group coaching waitlist, which is in the link in my bio, which is a really fun way to get a lot of support at a lower price and also get functional testing. And there's a lot of education on cycle health, hormone health, gut health in there as well. And so that will be happening in the next couple of months. But I have a ton of free information on my Instagram, a ton of free information on my website. So if you just start poking around there, you're going to get a lot of answers, a lot of support. And you can always DM me on Instagram for questions about next steps. And then I'll direct you to wherever you need to go from there.
Yay. I love that. Well, I highly recommend following. I love following your Instagram. And I also have several patients of mine that have worked with you and have raved, which is why I wanted you to come on the podcast and specifically talk about this topic. So Maddie, thank you so much for joining us. And I can't wait to have you on again to talk about some other topic that we need to explore.
Yes. Thank you so much. It has been so fun. I can't wait to actually meet you in real life at one of our healthy coffee shops in San Diego. And yeah, I would love to come back on in the future.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope this information was valuable and that you share it with a friend or family member who is struggling to find answers to their health issues and they want help moving forward with their healing journey. If you want to keep the conversation going, follow me on Instagram at drmercedescook. To request a consultation to work together, head to uppercervicalsd.com. I appreciate you tuning in and I look forward to seeing you here next week to dive into the next topic together.